Explore the mystery at ShroudUniversity.com.
One of the challenges facing Shroud Research is the important task of communication. But more specifically, communicating the message of the Shroud to a new generation. Many, if not most of us in this room, became interested in the subject around the time of the Shroud of Turin Research Project, also known as STIRP, when they went to Turin in 1978 or shortly thereafter. We remember all the press and all the excitement. There was a buzz across the entire world. The original Silent Witness film came out that same year. National Geographic published a landmark article in June of 1980. STIRP announced their preliminary results in 1981. Their announcement was electrifying. The Shroud image was not the work of an artist, and the blood tested positive for being genuine blood. Could the Shroud be authentic? Is that even possible? For 10 years, we rode a wave of interest that came to an abrupt stop in October of 1988 with the announcement of 3 carbon dating labs. The party was over. We are all here today because we believe there is more to the story. Unfortunately, the world does not know that story. Many thought the publication of Ray Rogers' work in 2005, challenging the carbon date, would shift the tide. It didn't. In fact, during the 2006 Olympics held in Torino, as it was pronounced by the commentators, NBC made sure that the Shroud of Turin was never mentioned until the final day of the event. I can still see Katie Couric on the Today Show dismissing the Shroud as a medieval fake based on the carbon dating test and made no mention of Ray Rogers' work, even though his results were published in a peer-reviewed journal only a year before. A quick search on Google and the news team would have found numerous references. They deliberately and purposely chose to ignore it. The secular media is more comfortable with the Shroud as a fake. Ardent secularists cannot handle the possibility of its authenticity. In the 30 years since STIRP, the challenge of effective communication has been further thwarted by the press and academic elites who have become even more hostile to anything religious, much less Christian. However, a larger problem today is not a biased media, but a fractured media. When STIRP was making news, most people got their news through the big 3 networks, newspapers, and magazines, and that was it. Today, the influence of print media is on the wane, and digital sources of news and entertainment are almost limitless. So now we're back to the question of how can we engage and intrigue the next generation, and why is it important? The importance of this task hits on 2 levels, the pragmatic and the imperative. From the pragmatic, I have spoken to many in this room and others who lament on what to do with their personal collection of books and videos and memorabilia and personal research and writings. Their kids don't want it. If they're like my kids, they run out of the room screaming when the subject comes up. This doesn't seem to be a passion or interest that gets transferred to one's progeny. We're in desperate need of the younger generation to seek this mantle. When the young prophet Elisha desired the mantle of Elijah, he was given a double portion. Elijah didn't just hand it to him. Elisha desired it. We need to build interest and enthusiasm in a new generation that will desire the wisdom and knowledge that the older generation of researchers can offer before they leave the stage. This leads me to the imperative. The imperative is related to the most important aspect of the Shroud. It is what has drawn many to this conference. The imperative is the message. I'm not particularly interested in old linen cloths. I have little interest in other ancient artifacts or alleged relics either. But a first century Jewish burial shroud that bears the front and back image of a 5'10" bearded crucified man covered with bloodstains that match the passion of Jesus Christ is more than just another relic. It is potentially the most important artifact on the planet. Its importance is derived from the message. What is the message? It is the message of the gospel, as described in the biblical narratives. It is the message that the very Son of God came to earth in the form of a man, humbled himself to dying on a cross in our place, and then rose from the grave, defeating the power of sin and death, and he offers that same victory to all who believe. What a message! Can there be a better message? This is the imperative. The message of the shroud is identical to the message of the gospel. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive." Is the shroud one of those proofs mentioned here? Maybe so. But more important is a verse in John chapter 14, verse 11, Jesus speaking. He says, quote, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves." Now, with the use of words in Scripture like proofs and evidence, it is very clear that Jesus wanted no ambiguity regarding his resurrection, and that faith in what he had accomplished was essential. The unifying statement that defines my interest in the shroud is as follows. The significance of the shroud is related to its potential. If the shroud is potentially the burial shroud of Jesus of Nazareth, then its significance is incomprehensible. Why? Because it potentially confirms the message of God's love to every human being alive today. I think that's pretty significant. This is also why it is imperative that we continue our research and engage the next generation, because its potential and significance is far too important to allow the shroud to descend into obscurity. Towards this end, I have launched a new website called shrouduniversity.com. My goal is to take the subject and encourage college and high school students to do their own research, to incorporate the shroud into some aspect of academic study, to encourage them to consider the subject as part of a paper for history, art, or religion, to consider it as a project or presentation for science or a topic for speech. For instance, the debate between Walter McCrone and blood chemist Dr. John Heller and Dr. Alan Adler would be fascinating. Here's the question. How can qualified scientists arrive at completely divergent conclusions based on the same data? Perhaps an investigation into the methodologies of the scientists would be revealing. Perhaps comparing the shroud to the Vinland map would be a good project. It is a superb parallel, where McCrone says it's a fake, but other scientists claim it is authentic. That it is an authentic Viking map, including Yale University, Caltech, and the Smithsonian Institute. See any parallels? Certainly, the current debate over carbon-14 dating would need to be addressed in the light of new evidence. Perhaps incorporating the importance of sampling methodology would be significant here, assessing the wisdom of allowing the most important carbon dating event of the 20th century to hang on one questionable sample. Something we've been discussing here for days. The possibilities are numerous, but we need to engage students and pique their interest first. Shroud University is broken into 10 academic schools, so those students interested in a narrowly defined aspect of the Shroud will have a ready resource. The ultimate goal of Shroud University is to speak the language of this generation. And that language is technology. The emerging generation asks three questions. What can I watch? This is the YouTube phenomenon. Next they ask, what can I listen to? This is the iPod phenomenon. And lastly they say, what can I find and read on the internet? Books and magazines are becoming quaint throwbacks to a bygone era, unfortunately. This is the reality we face if we are to engage the new generation. We are making every effort to find or create as much streaming video, streaming audio, podcasts, and video blogs for this purpose. This is a work in progress. The site will continue to grow and improve in its look, functionality, and content. As an aside, it's not in the paper here. I mean, all the presentations here this weekend will end up on Child University. You all remember the movie Field of Dreams with the famous quote, "Build it and they will come." Let me assure you, they will not come unless they know about it. The next phase of emphasis will be a campaign to contact every Catholic and Protestant college in the United States with a request for them to link to Child University as an outside academic resource. This site needs to be visible to students. The second phase of this effort would be towards campus ministries attached to secular colleges and universities. I'm under no illusion that most members of the secular academia have become ardent opponents to anything religious, especially when it steps within the bounds of science. A survey of the 1,000 members of the National Academy of Science was taken a few years ago. Regarding faith, 94% indicated that they were atheists. With that in mind, our best hope is with schools and ministries that have some kind of affinity with this subject. Now, how will this be accomplished? By me paying out of my pocket for part-time college students to make the calls and make it happen. It won't happen without effort. Donations, by the way, are accepted in the alumni section of the website. We don't want to be just visible in cyberspace. We need to be physically visible as well. And for that purpose, in the marketing section, we have created several downloadable resources, including a comprehensive fact sheet, an 11x17 poster, which you see hanging on the wall right there, and an 8.5x11 flyer for, and all these should be posted in the school library, study hall, bulletin boards, dormitories, wherever enterprising students can put them. You all know the saying, out of sight, out of mind. Well, our hope is to achieve the opposite effect. We want to be within sight and top of mind. So, that's my brief intro, and what I'm going to do now is take you on a brief tour of Shroud University so you can see it in its current form. I'm going to bring you first to my original website, which is called Shroud2000.com, which I launched a year after Barry. When did you launch your website, Barry?
January 96.
This launched in December of 97. So this original website, Shroud 2000. So I'm going to bring you here to Shroud University. And I want you to pay attention. There's a little flash window here that is on a continuous loop. It's just encouraging students to investigate one of the greatest mysteries in the known world. And I'm comparing the Shroud to an artifact that is hidden by controversy and confusion instead of dirt and debris. So you see, I'm just kind of appealing to students to consider the Shroud as some kind of academic project. So let me. There are four. Now you can see here that I've had in the news and events section. This conference has been promoted here for about the past 6 months, and when we get back in a couple of weeks, I'm going to get the fellow who comes over every month and works on my website. We're going to convert that to probably where we'll put all of the audio files for this conference, so it'll continue to be like it'll turn into a conference follow-up section on here. So the what I want to show you here is we have podcasts and video blogs. I want to show you briefly here something we did. Now, this will continue to grow. Now, how many of you have met or have heard Isabel Piksek? Her name has been mentioned here several times. I was out in Los Angeles a couple months ago and brought out my video camera and a couple microphones. And so I'm just going to show you just a couple seconds of this. This will give you the little intro.
That doesn't look like Isabel.
No, it'll be up in a second. That's every intro.
Hi, this is Russ Brial with Shroud University bringing you another video blog. And today I have a special guest with us, Isabel Piksek, who is a world-renowned
Okay, that's it. So you get the idea. So we just try to put as much on video as we can. Take that away from me. These are all. This is part two. You might want to listen. This is her. I'm just trying to make the.
That's right.
Well, okay. This is part two where she's discussing this inane theory of the shroud being the result of Leonardo da Vinci. And these four video blogs here at the moment are just me sitting in front of a camera having a general discussion about the shroud. So there's all kinds of things that we can do there. Go back here. Now I want to show you the podcast. All of the audios of this conference will end up here as a podcast. And in the podcast, I did an interview recently with Paul Maloney on the phone. And let me just give you, a brief intro there. And then, but also I've done the Isabel interviews are here. Barry Schwartz did a radio interview that I was back in what, April or something. I pulled that off.
It's April 15th, so I believe.
I guess that's right. And
I don't remember exactly. Nothing to work with.
And then these are some archive stuff that I had audio taped when I was at the 98 conference, so you can listen to our old buddy Kim Dreisbach. He's got a brief thing there. Alan Adler here. Alan Adler again here. And, so then we have one from Fred Zugabe. This was an interesting debate that Gil Lavoie sent me. He had a radio debate with Walter McCrone back in the year 2000, so I put that in. And Rex, there you are. Rex is right there in the original Dallas presentation that he gave, which I thought was one of the most stunning. In fact, Rex, you were the first podcast up on Shroud U, by the way. Just want to let you know that. So you can click on this and do streaming audio. Okay, that's it. Just a sample. Be here all day. So, all right. Now I want. So that's just kind of an idea of what's on the homepage. And this featured content. All this is just a brief clip of a lecture that I did. That it's got about a 5-minute clip that just basically for the uninitiated, what is the Shroud of Turin? So that's kind of very very basic. You don't need to see that. So if you now we go into these pull-down menus here, and there's about Shroud U, which this again is all oriented towards students, and then let's see, and then we have Shroud Basics 101, and then just keeps going. Why is the Shroud important? These are links to Q&A. Now, I link heavily to Barry's site, to Dan Porter's site, to Emanuela's site. I mean, it's really almost a way of just formatting a lot of information that's already out there. Legitimate subject for state-supported schools. I talk about, hey, if you can do something on the Dead Sea Scrolls, why can't you do something on the Shroud of Turin? You know, but you have this nonsense out there. I've had people, kids, email me, well, it's so controversial and it's religion. And I'm saying, well, what are you, the Dead Sea Scrolls was the greatest archaeological find of the 20th century. Is that somehow not within the purview of a state-supported school? I don't think so. So, okay. So then we go into, there's FAQs, there's a high-res image, which... Ray, I pulled this from your site, but this is actually the Henri image.
That's the one that shrunk a lot to 613 pixels for Mario's pixel measurement tool.
Now we go to students here. Now this is... This will be, there are 10 different schools, as I said. Now here you can, there are two ways to link to the schools. So for instance, if we want, here's a School of General Studies here, School of Chemistry, projects related to carbon dating. I give students ideas for what they can do. We'll just go down this list: School of Art, School of Botany, School of Textiles, School of Physics, School of School of Debate, Controversy, School of Medicine, School of History. All right, so if we go back up to the top here, let's just go to the, oh, we'll go to the School of Chemistry. So now that takes us to the School of Chemistry. And again, more questions and topics for students. And I would really like for you guys to chime in. I mean, I wrote this stuff in a day just to put some stuff out there, some ideas. And you know, they're not real technical because I'm not a chemist. And so if you have some other thoughts, you know, this would be like Shroud 101, but there might be some 501 type questions and things that we would want for students. Now we get into what's called featured content, and every one of the schools has this. So again, I'm going to have I've got Tom Dumahalik. I pulled him from a radio interview that he did about a year ago. Here's a PowerPoint, Battle of the Chemists. This is a presentation that I did for the American Chemical Society, which Barry had to urge me to do because I was going to chicken out, but I did it, and it went real well. And then here's just a carbon dating debate. Let's see, Alan Wanger, I actually filmed him at a trade show in Atlanta, and there's a nice little clip where he's showing the X-ray radiographs of the aberrant sample, and then this is an audio of Adler challenging the chemistry of Macron and the accuracy of the C14. Now these featured content will continue to grow. A lot of the content here will get populated into the different schools depending on what the topic is. So it'll be sorted by topic, and then we'll initially, from this conference, keep going down here. So now we move down into the actual links, and again, so now we have the. This is from Barry's site, Nature of the Body Image, conclusions from Walter McCrone. Where is that from?
That's from Walter McCrone's
site. That's from his site. Okay. And then we have the mystery of the image chemistry by none other than Dan Porter. And here's another one from Shad's story. Here's one from Stanford EDU. Here's an article from Delayed Reaction. Here's an article from Jeff Messenger. This is another one from Barry's site, Shad.com. Another one from Shad.com. You can see it. Pull them from everywhere, wherever they would make. Wherever I can find, relevant content, and then articles related to the carbon dating issue here, and then at the very bottom, I encourage students to say, well, listen, there's only so much you can find on the internet. Not all the peer-reviewed journals and things like that are available on the internet. So this is where you might need to go to your college library and go to jstor.org and actually have those articles sent to you by a PDF. Every school library subscribes to this kind of a service. But I'm only here able to link to what is on the internet. So now you get the idea. So if we go to, and then all the schools, the same schools I linked to here are all listed in a drop-down menu here. So we, just as an example, go to the School of History. And then, again, more topics and questions for students. More featured content, videos and PowerPoint presentations and audios. And then now we're back down into articles. You get the idea. And I couldn't help myself because this is a real hot button for me, but I just think on the debate issue, since our other than carbon 14, our primary nemesis is Macron, I couldn't help myself but to really press on the Vinland map issue, because I think it is such an incredible parallel between the Shroud. I mean, how can Macron say that the Vinland map is a fake and for Yale University, Caltech, and the Smithsonian Institute say that it's on an authentic Viking map, and how can there not be a complete, perfect parallel with the shroud? I think it's a great study in contrast, and I'd love for students to tackle that. And so, but Barry, I have your debate here with Joe Nickel, and another Barry Schwartz interview he gave on a Memphis radio station. And now, remember, in the original podcast, I had the debate between Walter McCone and Gil Lavoie. I have that here as well. And so you will see things more than once because, you know, they just... Now, I'm going to show you the library, which I have dedicated to our good buddy, Kim Dreisbach. This is the Albert Dreisbach Memorial Library. And now everything, all the videos, all the articles, everything is listed in the library. So in addition to that, I want to show you this article section. I think this is from your site, Barry. These are all the articles listed from STIRP. Now you probably will have to go to the library and get these from JSTOR, but for someone who is doing research, here are all your articles. And then here's an exhaustive list of articles of the past 100 years. Who did I steal this from? Whoever, does anyone know who that is? Because it's, but it goes all the way back to 1902. But it's an alphabetical order by author.
Oh, that's from there.
And so again.
That's from a manual.
Okay. So, and then lastly is a chronological list that only goes to 1984. And who'd I get that from? Somebody with GeoCities. And so, but anyway, so all this is in the article section here. And then if we go back. Now, in honor of Kim, who always loved a good joke, I have to show you this. This is for our buddy Kim.
Hello, I'd like to order a french fries, a burger, and a milkshake. This is a library.
I knew Kim would appreciate that. So, and then there is the alumni section, because what would a school be without an alumni section, which is, you know, what is an alumni? Basically, anybody who's ever read a book on the Shroud is an alumni of Shroud U. And then, but I'd like to show you this. Academic advisors, I'd like to add a few of you guys to this list, because we're going to have students that may want to go deeper. And I don't, you know, and I put myself in here as kind of a generalist, but I got, you know, Dan's agreed to be an advisor to the School of History, and Gil Lavoie has offered to offer his advice regarding medicine, and Paul Maloney's offered his advice in the way of botany, and Stephen Fichter has offered his advice in the realm of religion. But I think, but there needs to be a lot more advisors here. And so if you're interested in being you know, listed here as an advisor and don't mind every so often getting an email from a student, then you need to contact me. I'd like to include you there. Now they go to the news section, and this basically is kept up to date. This is kind of, I brought this out current through June 2nd of all of the real pertinent news items here. And these will link out to the various news sites where you can see the article and read the article. And then this is supposed to be an automated news feed from Google News. And so you can go to everything current, so up to the minute, up to 6 hours ago, is you can read news articles that are pertinent to the the shroud just by clicking there. So so you can, and then now we go under here under, where do I want to go? I want to go to store. Now I want to show you this. If we, now for schools that are willing to link to Shroud U, we've created a few different banner type ads. Now they, you know, just some movement there, some kind of flash. But then if they don't want to put anything that flashy, then they can just take a link, and here is a descriptor of the website right there. So, and we're going to create some more banner ads that have different feel to it, look to it, just to be interesting. Again, the idea is to be visible, to catch a student's attention. Oh, that sounds really interesting. You know, I might like to do it. I have a paper for history that I got to do. Maybe this would be cool. You know, so I've just, I want to go to the marketing here, and I mentioned the downloadable resources. So, you know, so someone could download this poster right there, which you see on the wall over there. It's 11 by 17, and they can download it as a JPEG, which is just fine. But if they got a real super high quality printer, they can also download it as a TIFF file. And then here is an 8.5 by 11 flyer, and then lastly is a downloadable fact sheet. And so we'll put more stuff like that up there as we go. And so, you know, rather than belabor it anymore, I just, you know, does anyone have any questions about Shroud U? And the other thing is that you can contact me. All my contact information is right down here on the bottom. Because some of you are in academics, and if there's some ideas that you have on how we can present the information better, or how we can maybe some different questions or some ideas for school curriculum or anything like that, I would certainly engage your interaction. So,
as far as I know, Ray's article is there, and I want to see if I can find it.
What is, okay, hold on.
Shroud.it.
Do you have any thoughts on where this is going to be?
English first?
Oh, English should be good.
Except for Julie.
And then check.
Main events, maybe?
I would go on.
No. Main researches? Why am I not seeing articles?
Under main researches.
Oh.
All right, scroll down.
She may have a link to it.
It's been full text. Do a find on Rogers.
Huh?
Do a find. Edit find.
Can you do that?
Yeah. Just a break of edit.
Pretty hidden if it's here.
Yeah, I've seen it. I know it's
seen it. Yes.
You have seen it? Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Keep going up.
Yeah, links are further down.
Keep going.
Scientific Garden is tabbed down here.
Oh, yeah, it's on there.
Ah, okay. Okay.
That's where that came from. We showed her. Because Russ has already grabbed this on this. You want to just slide
okay.
The
line? Well,
and then,
does it bother you? Does anyone have any questions for me regarding Shroud University?
There's one point I'd like to bring to your attention, and I don't know whether this will provide you with food or food for something else.
Right here? That's just the Thermochemica Acta article.
That's what I'm trying to find. Barry's only gotten the abstract.
Oh, I've pulled this. This is on Shroud U too. I have this. I linked to her site for this full article. Yeah, I have that. I pulled this in the Shroud U from her site.
Okay. Oh, you took it from her site.
I did. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was discussing with one of our speakers yesterday a mutual connection we have with Brigham Young University. Many, many years ago, Brigham Young University, through their legal faculty, thank you, through their legal faculty, put on trial the Book of Mormon, an opposing side and a defense side, to investigate the authenticity of their religious work. And this trial went on for quite some substantial period of time, and a conclusion was reached, which was very much obviously in favor of the Book of Mormon at that time. But to set up a similar project with a university in law to take all the evidence that's assembled here today and throughout this convention and present it in a legal format and put on trial the authenticity of the Shroud in face of the negative and positive side, I believe would be an incredible exercise and would generate enormous publicity, and I don't think it would be negative.
I think that's a great idea. And not only that, you could not only do it as a trial, but as a debate.
Absolutely.
So you have a lot of debate teams. And
I could be the legal school of Shroud University.
That's right. I could add a school. I could be up to 11. Okay, so thank you very much.
Explore the mystery at shrouduniversity.com.